Well, it's good to see all your smiling faces this morning, and I am very excited about today, and I'm not very good at keeping surprises when I'm excited about things, so I kind of let the cat out of the bag last week regarding what we're going to be talking about beginning this week, but I am very excited about it because to me it's one of the most practical things that you can learn to live an overcoming life. Now, just to give you kind of a background, we know we got some newer people here today, and what we started at the beginning of 2017, as I prayed about the direction the Lord wanted us to go in, the Lord really put on my heart strongly that we were to camp on the subject of spiritual warfare for a good portion of this year. So that's what we've been doing, amen? And what we've been talking about thus far is the basic training of spiritual warfare. In other words, some foundational things that we must understand when we go into this particular subject. Because if you don't understand these things, you're going to have a faulty foundation. You're going to have a really difficult time experiencing victory over the enemy. So what were some of those things? We talked about the first thing, that we got to have a military mindset. The first thing we've got to understand is that we are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we were born again, we entered into full-time active service in the army of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. So now we are in the battle. We're not just Christians that are out there living like the world and doing things the way we want to. No, we're supposed to be not supposed to be conforming ourselves to the world and doing things like the world does it. We're supposed to understand that we are in a battle. And we are the Lord's soldiers. And we've learned most recently that we have authority as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been learning specifically that we have been given the authority, we have been given the power to overcome the devil. Amen? God's not going to do it unless He does it through us. Amen? He's going to do it through His body. And you remember we made the point that as Jesus is the head of the body and we are the body of Christ, just as if you don't have a head connected to the body, you're not going to have any life to the body. The body's not going to be able to do anything. It's not going to be able to put one foot in front of the other. Well, we need to understand that. Amen? Is that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So we need the Lord. But we also have got to understand that the Lord needs us. Because just as a body can't do anything if it does not have the head, if you just got a head and you got no body, that head's not going to be able to go nowhere. It's not going to be able to do anything. Amen? So the Lord needs us as well, and that's why He has delegated us the certain sense of authority and power that He has. Amen? So we've also talked about that we need to learn to close the door on Satan's tactics in our life, because we do have an enemy, and he's got a way that he is attacking us and things like that. So we don't need to give him the advantage over us and give him the upper hand, and we need to learn to close the door on him. What I mean by that, don't give the devil any place in your life. Now you understand, an unsubmitted soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ is open game to the enemy. If you're not doing things God's way, you're living in complete contradiction to the Word of God, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, all these different things, you're going to have a hard time experiencing victory over the devil. So we've got to learn to submit unto Christ. Amen? And we've also learned that the standpoint that we are entering into spiritual warfare in is a standpoint of victory. We're not fighting to try to obtain a victory over the devil. The devil has already been disarmed, dethroned, and defeated. Therefore, we are wrestling against him from the standpoint of victory in our lives. Amen? Because Jesus Christ already did it through his blood. Praise God. Amen? So these are some of the things that we have been talking about. But one of the points that's really going to lead us into what I believe that the Lord has commissioned us now over these next few weeks to go into is understanding where spiritual warfare is waged under our new and better covenant. Amen? Because there is a lot of wrong teachings that have come out in years past regarding the subject of spiritual warfare that got people onto all kinds of wrong belief systems, wrong mindsets and mentalities. And some of those would be this. People would believe because there are principalities and powers that we are wrestling against, that there are these strongholds in the spiritual realm that are over a specific city or over a specific region. And so people believed in their carnality that because these demons are ruling over specific areas, that in order to wage a good warfare against the prince of the power of the air, what do we need to do? We need to go up into a helicopter, or we go up into a skyscraper, up onto mountains, and start fighting against the devil because that's where he is. Now, I got news for you. The devil's not out there somewhere. He's closer to you than you'd like to care he is. So the warfare is not being done out there in the natural, in the carnal somewhere. We're going to find out today where the battlefield is. So just as we've been talking about the basic training of the soldier and the authority of the soldier, today we're going to talk about the battlefield of the soldier, where this warfare is being waged. So let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And if you got an extra hand, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Like I told you, this is going to become a very practical message for us. I had somebody approach me before the service today and talked about some specific issues that they were going through. And I told them, I said, look, we don't necessarily need to talk about anything further than this. Just listen to these messages right here, because this, in these messages, lies your key. Amen? Praise God. You know, I'm a firm believer of that. If the pastor and all the rest of the teachers in the church are doing a good job, you're not going to have to do too much personal counseling. Amen. Because if you're coming and getting the general counsel of the word like you should be getting it, you're getting equipped. You should be getting equipped to fight against the enemy. So this is one of these things that will help equip you. Now let's start in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Thank you, Lord. Now here we've got probably the most concise passage of Scripture on spiritual warfare in the entire Word of God. Amen. So let's read this together. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. The Apostle Paul is speaking. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for what we are about to enter into. We thank you, Lord, that your revelation that is found in your word, the truth that makes us free, is available to all those under the sound of my voice today. And I thank you, Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to open up eyes to be able to see how the enemy has been attacking us, how the enemy has been plaguing us. And you're going to give us keys to this kingdom living. You're going to give us the keys to how to overcome these attacks, this warfare that's going on around us. You're going to open up eyes. You're going to give light and understanding to the simple. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, and invite you into this place to help us to enter into this truth this morning. And we give you praise and honor and glory for it. Amen. Amen. Now, look at verse 10 again. The Apostle Paul starts off his brief teaching on spiritual warfare by saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. And in case you have not noticed this yet, what we've been doing since the beginning of 2017 is we've been camping on this verse. Because what have we been doing? We have been making ourselves stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might by studying the foundational principles of spiritual warfare and also understanding the power and authority that's been given to us. Amen? So what we've been doing essentially, if you've been listening right and you've been implying your heart to these truths that we've been hearing, you have been making yourself stronger to be able to enter in to this warfare. Amen? But today we're going to go into verse 11 now. And over the next few months, we're going to go through this passage of Scripture that we just read, because it lies a great amount of truth in these passages. Verse 11 again, Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, you know what that speaks to me? That speaks to me that if you do not put on the whole armor of God, then you will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because he's saying right there that in order for you to have the power, the ability to stand against all his wiles, you better have on the whole armor of God. So that what this means is we can't be like the Baptist who got a bunch of spiritual soldiers going around with butt naked with a helmet on. Because all they preach is salvation. And they got their helmet of salvation on, but they ain't got their breastplate on, they don't have their belt on, they don't have their shield. But lest we condemn the denominations out there, we can't be like the Word of Faith either, that they're butt naked, but they're carrying around a shield. They got their shield of faith, amen, but they don't have nothing else on. See, this scripture says that you got to put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand. In other words, you got to be well-rounded and fully equipped in all these things. So we're going to get into talking about the armor of God, probably last in this particular theme that we've been on. But right now, I want to make one little point to you about this. When he says put on the whole armor of God, he's not talking about putting something on naturally or carnally. And why do I say that? Now, I know this might ruffle some people's feathers, but you do not put on the whole armor of God by going through this ritual every day of I'm putting my helmet on right now. I'm putting my shield, I'm taking my sword up and things like that. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do, because it certainly can lead you towards instilling the consciousness in you that you have your armor. So it's not a bad thing to do, but we do need to understand just by going through that ritual does not put the armor on. Why? Because the armor is a spiritual thing, and you don't put a spiritual thing on carnally. You don't put it on naturally. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's see what the Apostle Paul said over here regarding this subject. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Many of us are familiar with this scripture, but I believe we're going to get new light on it today. Thank you, Lord. It says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Now, what is Paul talking about right here? He's basically saying, he's not talking about we walk in the flesh in regards to walking in the carnal, sinful nature. See, you got to learn to distinguish that when you see the term flesh in the Word of God, is it referring to that natural, carnal, sinful nature, or is it simply just talking about a physical body or something natural? Right here, the Apostle Paul is saying, for though we walk in this natural body, okay? And that's what's important to understand. It's pretty much everything we do is done in the body. It's done naturally. It's done carnally because we are trapped in this fallen body. Amen? Now, the word walk is very important because the Apostle Paul is the only one that usually ever used this term. And a lot of times he would talk about walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. And so forth. He'd talk about walking as children of light. And when he would use this term walk, what it described was, the Greek word that's used for this describes a habitual practice. All right? So it's what it's talking about right here is we don't conduct ourselves in this fallen sinful nature. However, pretty much everything we do in the is in the natural. It's in the body. It's naturally speaking, okay? So that's what he's saying. Pretty much everything we do is in the body. But then he says, however, we do not war according to the flesh. So in other words, although pretty much everything we do is in this natural body, there's one thing that we do not do in this body. We do not do naturally, we do not do carnally. And what is that? We do not war. In other words, we do not enter into spiritual warfare according to the flesh. Amen. So the question then that should arise is, well, how do we enter into spiritual warfare? If it's not done naturally, if it's not done carnally, how do we do it? Well, the Apostle Paul goes into describing this here Because he gives us four specific things that he does, that he says that we do indeed war in. Now notice this. He goes in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." So now he's describing why we don't war according to the flesh. It's because the weapons of our warfare are not natural and carnal. So what he's saying is what I just said to you a minute ago from Ephesians 6:11, is that we are putting on spiritual armor, not natural armor. See, the weapons of our warfare are describing the armor of God that we've been given. Amen? So now he's saying, hey, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not natural. But what are they? They are mighty in God. For what? Four specific things. Notice this. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So again, we have four things that are listed in this passage that we are operating in spiritual warfare in. Okay? Now the first thing he says is pulling down strongholds. And then somebody will see that and they'll read that incorrectly and say, see there, Pastor? We are pulling down these strongholds that are over specific cities and regions and all this stuff. Well, slow your roll for a minute, because I want us to look at what the other three things say and what they describe, because in understanding that, then you're going to see a constant theme of what he's referring to here. Let's go to the next one, and then we'll come back to pulling down strongholds. The next one says, casting down arguments. Now, I'm not a big fan of the New King James particular translation for the word arguments. The King James says imaginations. And if you look the word up, it comes from the Greek word logismos, which describes what? Vain reasonings and logic. Vain reasonings and logic. So when this translated arguments, it's describing arguments that are going on, not out here somewhere, but in here, between your ears. Okay? So what are we seeing here? This thing is specifically talking about there is some warfare that's going on in our skull, between our ears, right? There are imaginations that are getting built up. There's vain reasonings. There's thought patterns and thought processes that are going on in here. And we're seeing things. And I call this also a speculative imagination. What's a speculative imagination? Now, we've all fallen prey to this, some of us worse than others. But it's kind of like this. You'll see somebody have a look on their face, or you'll hear them say something, or... let's talk about the world. Let's be real. Let's talk about the world we're living in now. You'll read a text. And you're like, what that little emoticon smiley face mean? What is that? Why did they put an exclamation point there? And you start to speculate why they're saying what they said or why, how they said it. Now, we've all done that. We've been there, done that. See, what are we talking about that's going on there? The enemy is instilling thoughts in our mind, imaginations that are absolutely just phantoms. They're not real things that are going on. Now, how many times have you just been absolutely convinced that somebody meant something by what they said or what they did, and then you come to find out after 2 days of stewing about it and thinking about it, and it's just going through your mind constantly, you come to realize, hey, they didn't mean that at all. Don't raise your hands. We've all done it. But see, this is what I want you to understand about that. This is spiritual warfare, according to this scripture. Amen? Now let's go to the next one. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now people again start to apply this carnally. He just said these things aren't carnal in nature. Right here he says that these high things are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. Now, people will say these high things are like those prince of the power of the air type thing that I described to you earlier, these high things out there in the atmosphere, the warfare that's going on in the heavenlies somewhere. But no, read this passage again. These high things are things that exalt themselves against what? The knowledge of God. Now, where is knowledge at? It's in your head, right? Knowledge is increased in mentally in the soul, right? So you'd have to misapply this to start saying these high things are something out here in the natural. No, these high things are things that arise in your heart and your mind that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. In other words, they are proud and lofty thoughts that try to exalt themselves against what God's Word says. Again, those are things we've all been guilty of, isn't it? You know, how many of you have just had a thought go through your head and this belief system that's been built up, and you come to realize eventually, man, that is contrary to the Word of God. And I've been feeding that lie for years and years and years. Those are those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So again, where are we talking about this warfare is? Between your ears, in your skull. Now let's look at the final one. It's pretty obvious what it's talking about. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So this is obviously talking about what's going through your mind and your thoughts. Amen? So what are we seeing here? The final three things that are listed out of these four things are describing battles that go on in our soul. Imaginations, reasonings, proud and lofty thoughts, and renegade thoughts that we're supposed to be putting a spear in their back and leading them captive. So by virtue of the fact that three of these four things are talking about things that are going on right here, you have to assume that the strongholds must be talking about the same thing. Amen? So let's talk about this word strongholds now. Where are these strongholds? They're in the inside of you. And I got news for you. Pretty much everybody in here has certain strongholds that are built up on the inside of their mind. Every single one of us. Let's talk about what this word meant. Originally, in classical Greek language, the word that was used for strongholds was used to describe a fortress. A fortress. Now, what is a fortress? A fortress is something that is built, that is erected to what? Keep people out. Right? Okay, so what would this describe in the strongholds that are on the inside of us? It can be a belief system, a mindset that has been built up on the inside of us that does what? It keeps people at a distance. And it's helpful to understand why these things are built in us. Because some of us have had the misfortune in our lives of maybe being abused in different things. Maybe when we were a kid, we were mistreated, even sexually abused, and these different things happen. And what is the tendency when this happens to a young child? They make vows on the inside of them. They speak things out and says, I'm never going to let somebody get close enough to me to ever hurt me again. And that's why they have a hard time having relationships with people. They keep people at a distance because they don't want to open themselves up to being hurt ever again. This is a stronghold or a fortress. But then this word came to describe a prison. Now, what is a prison designed to do? It's to keep people in. It's to bind them. It's to oppress them. It's to keep them from getting free. Okay? So this is another thing that can happen. There can be certain situations and circumstances that have happened in somebody's life, and it's maybe happened repeatedly through our lives and stuff like that. So what it does is it ends up building brick upon brick, a mentality, a thought process on the inside of us that it keeps us unable to get free. Why can I not break free on this? And I'm telling you, saints, it's a very minor thing sometimes. It's a very subtle thing. And I'll give you an example. And this isn't meant to condemn anybody, but it's something that helps us to describe why we can't do that. Some people do not like to dance. They absolutely will not dance in public. Why? Because why? They just don't have the freedom to get out there in this particular area. And why is that? Because maybe they're just insecurities that are built up on the inside of them. They're afraid people are going to laugh at them. And these things are keeping them bound. It's keeping them oppressed from experiencing everything the Lord wants them to have. So these strongholds here are describing these prisons, these fortresses that are built up, erected on the inside of our hearts and minds, just like these imaginations, just like these proud and lofty thoughts, just like the just everyday common thought that would come through your mind. But I got good news for you, saints. If I just painted your picture perfectly, there's good news for you. There are weapons of our warfare that are mighty in God to pull down those strongholds, to pull down those imaginations, to pull down those high things, and to bring every one of them thoughts into captivity of Christ. Amen. And what we've got to learn to do is operate according to our spiritual weaponry. Amen. Like, for example, when he says there at the end, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, the words there are being described in the original Greek language to describe, like I described earlier, somebody putting a spear to somebody's back and actually leading them into a prison. Bringing into captivity every thought. Now, let me ask you something. What is our lone piece of offensive weaponry in the armor of God? What is it? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, saints, this works. Because in times past where I have been plagued by temptations going on in my mind, these thoughts, it's just supernatural how they come, isn't it? They just come one right after another. You're seeing these images on the inside of you and all these different things, and you're just trying to white-knuckle it and say, oh, I'm not going to think on that. I don't need to be thinking on that. I'm a Christian. Let me tell you a more effective way to deal with it. He says, bringing into captivity every thought. So what do you got to do? You got to get that offensive weapon that you have at your disposal and use it just like the master did when he was in the wilderness, when the enemy came, and I believe this was going on in his thoughts, not just the devil appeared to him. You understand the devil is not running around in red pajamas with a pitchfork. He's not coming in you naturally. He's coming at you mentally. He's coming at you in your head. So what do you got to do? You got to fight him in the Spirit. And how do you do that? By taking the Word of God, which is the Rhema Word of God, the spoken, communicated Word of God. And you put that Word in your mouth, and when those thoughts are coming, you say, nah, devil, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And you let that Word come out of your mouth, and eventually the devil's going to leave you alone. Because he ain't no fool. He's pretty stupid, but he ain't no fool. Okay? And he's like, I'm going to get away from this person that's waving this sword around. This is how you fight for the battle in your soul. So my point is, from this passage of Scripture, he's talking about spiritual warfare here, and he's talking about the weapons of our warfare that are mighty in God, but he specifically describes four playing fields of where this spiritual warfare is waged. And where is it? It's the battle is between your ears. This is where spiritual warfare comes. And the Lord gave me a statement as I was meditating on these things this week, and I think it's a great statement. He said this. He said, although we are in a spiritual war, and it's not carnal, it's a spiritual warfare that we're having. It's a spiritual war that is waged in the soul. It's a spiritual war that is waged in the soul, which is describing your personality, your mind, will, and emotions, your inner life, and the way you think and hear. So listen, I got good news for you. If we can learn to control the warfare that's going on between our ears, then the warfare that's going on out here in the natural is no problem whatsoever. The devil cannot defeat you if he can't defeat you here. And this is where it happens. So this is a point I wanted to make to you, is that a lot of times we look at the warfare in our life as being the persecutions, the tribulations, or the trials, the natural problems that are coming against our life. We look at that as the warfare, don't we? But did you know that is not the end result of those things by the devil in your life? That is not ultimate. He's not just trying to make you sick. He's not just trying to make you broke. He's not just trying to ruin relationships and have all this stuff going on in your life. Ultimately, what he's doing is he stirs up these natural circumstances around you so that he can then come and perch himself up on your shoulder and start feeding you lies so that you'll start to believe a lie. Amen. So my point here, and go back over to Ephesians 6:11. My point here is that the devil, his ultimate aim and goal is not to bring, he's not to attack you through trials, he's to attack you through wiles. Ephesians 6:11. I'll say that again. The trials are not how he's trying to get you. It's through his wiles that accompany the trials. Amen. Ephesians 6, let's look at verse 11 again. People are going to be set free through this. The devil has just made some people's minds his playground. And he's just like the little bully that comes and drives the kid off the playground, sitting there swinging back and forth on the swing. He's running the fort, you know. This is all his deal. The devil is getting discovered in this place today. And people are going to start booting them out. And they're going to start taking control because they're going to know where the control needs to be taken. And it's between your ears. Amen. Notice this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the, what? Wiles of the devil. Now let's look at this word wiles, because this is very important. Out of everything the Apostle Paul could have used to describe how the devil comes against us, he just uses one word, one description. And what is it? Wiles. Okay? So let's look at this word wiles. This is really interesting. The word wiles comes from the Greek word methodos, M-E-T-H-A-D-O-S. And it's where we get our English word method from. Methodos. So what he's describing right here is the methods of the devil. Amen? Now when you look this word up, this is what the word methodos denotes. A scheme, a devious craft, or a deceitful strategy. Okay, I'm going to say that again. It's a scheme, a devious craft, or a deceitful strategy. Now, you notice the deception that's contained in those definitions? Deceptive, devious. What you've got to understand about the devil is he doesn't have a wide variety of methods of coming against you. He doesn't have a big repertoire. You understand that? He's basically got one method to really cause Christians to stumble, and he's actually very effective at it. And it's deception. I like to say, the Lord gave me this statement years back, and I love to reiterate it to people because it helps us get understanding of how he operates. The only effective weapon that the devil has is the illusion that he even has an effective weapon. If he can convince you, I can get you, then he's got you. But if you can know the truth will make you free from his deception. Amen? So it's just lies. And see, and it just amazes me because I'll have people come to me all the time and say, well, God, the devil's telling me this, Pastor. The devil's telling me he's gonna destroy my life. The devil's telling me he's going to kill me. And I'll just look at him and say, well, rejoice. And they'll look at you like, what do you mean rejoice? Well, the Bible says he's the father of lies and there is no truth in him. So the opposite must be true. Amen. So if he's telling you you're going under, then you need to rejoice because the truth is you must be going to go over. But if you don't know the truth, you don't know the Word of God, then you'll buy that lie. And you got to understand, when he comes against you with these wiles and with these attacks in your mind, it's going to feel like your own thought. He brings them into your mind in first person. So you think he's feeding the lie to you saying you're going to go under, and then it comes through and it filters through your mind and saying I'm going under. And you got to be able to discern it. But needless to say, it doesn't matter whether it's you thinking it or the devil has planted that thought. The fact is, it's contrary to the truth. So every one of them thoughts, every one of them lies that's coming, you need to put them where they belong, under your feet. Don't buy into those lies. Because if you can control that, you can control everything out here. Amen. Let me give you an illustration of this. You understand that there are people that have lived many years on this planet, and there's I'm not confessing this over anybody in this church. Everybody in this church is happy, healthy, and wealthy. Amen. But listen to this. There are people out there that have very serious physical ailments in their body. And they don't even know it. The doctors haven't discovered it yet, and all these different things. And guess what the byproduct is because of their lack of knowledge of the serious problem that's going on in their body? They're not plagued with fear. They're not plagued with worry. There are no emotions going on in them. Why? Because they are not conscious to the problem. However, if you trust me and say I were to come to you and just play the devil's advocate here, and I were to come to you and say, I got bad news. I got a call from your kid, and some such and such is in the hospital right now, and they're in ICU. And if I were to do that to you, and you believe me, even though it's not true, you're going to have some emotions that will accompany that. you will feel in your soul like you would feel if it were true. Right? So what's the difference in the situation? One situation's true, one's not true. It's the way you think. Your emotions will follow what you're thinking on and what you're focused on. So what if you've got a negative situation going on in your life? And it's true, you know, I mean, it's a fact. You know, there's a physical problem going on with you, or there's an alarming situation going on with your kids. What if you choose not to think on those things? And you make the decision, I'm only going to put my focus over on God. I'm going to speak the word of God, and I'm only going to focus on Him. I'm only going to praise Him. What's going to happen? It will change your emotions. Now, some of you, I ain't going to look at you when I say this, but some of you have called me during the week, and I've been on the phone with you. And you call up and you are just absolutely up in arms, freaking out about some situation that's going on. And what do? I will steer you back. What's the Word of God say? Let's praise God right now and this and that. By the time we get off the phone, the emotions you called in with have gone. Because your focus has changed. You following me? So the way we think will greatly determine and affect how we feel. So that's actually a pretty cool thing to understand, because then you can pretty much determine. If I feel negative, if I have these emotions that are coming against me and they're negative, you can pretty much bet the bank on the fact that the reason why that's happened is because of the way you've been thinking. So just change the way you've been thinking. That was worth the price of admission right now. Let's take up an offering right now on that one. Glory to God. So the wiles of the devil, the devious craft, the strategies, or the methods of the devil. Now, here's an interesting point, because if you look up this same Greek word, methodos, that's used, it was actually formed by two different Greek words. The word meta, which is most usually translated as the word with. And then the word odos, spelled O-D-O-S, which is where we get our English word like for an odometer. Which is what? A measuring device that reads the road. And it's the word that was used to translate a road, a way, or an avenue. So when you look at the word from that basis, the word for wiles literally describes with a road. So to me, this illustrates a very important point. It shows us where these wiles, where these methods, where these strategies are aimed at. They are an attempt to get an inroad into your mind. They are an attempt to bring an avenue straight between your ears. That's where these wiles are aimed and directed. Into your mind. Amen. Let's look at another scripture that echoes this. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's look at this. Got so many good notes here. You know, one of the things that plague you as a preacher a lot of times, you're like, you'll get done, and then you're like, oh man, I forgot that was a good point. And you just got to trust that the Holy Spirit is ministering directly to people. He brings out what He wants. But that's why we send out the notes every week via email. Praise God. Because then all the things I fail to bring up, you can go in those notes and make sure you get them. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Now the context here is unforgiveness. And a lot of people believe that this particular passage of Scripture, you can read it on your own time, is describing that one believer that they turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You remember that? Because of the things that were going on and so forth. And he's talking about here forgiving such a one and restoring them into the position that they're in. But the context is unforgiveness. So notice what verse 11 says. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. Stop right there. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. See, most people read that because of their mentality, you know, the negative thinking. You know, and we do that all the time. What do we call those traffic signals? What do we call them? Red lights. Why don't we call them green lights? Why they got to be red lights? Why they got to be negative? Or in baseball, those posts that are there that determine whether a ball is fair or foul, what do they call them? Foul poles. Why can't they be fair poles? If they hit the pole, they're going to be fair. But see, that's just the way we gravitate. We think negatively. You following me? So most people read this negatively. And they say, oh man, The devil can take advantage of us. But here's the point I like to see in this. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. That speaks to me, he doesn't already have the advantage. Unless we give it to him. Amen. You remember we talked about that last week. We shall trample on the serpents and the scorpions, right? And we talked about the awesome thing about trampling on something. That describes something. The devil ain't as big as you. Amen. If you trample on something, that means you're higher than it and you are bigger than it. So you got the advantage over the devil. Unless you yield to these things like unforgiveness, offense, bitterness, and you're just doing whatever the devil's filling your mind to do, then you can give him the advantage over you. But notice this, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now the word devices here reveals some more of the same truths that I've been sharing with you today. It comes from the Greek word noema. Noema, which describes this. Listen. It comes from the root word nous. N-O-U-S. Which is the word that's always used to define the thoughts or our mind. The thoughts in our mind or our mind itself. So the very root word of this is describing thoughts. And when you look up this word noema, that's here for devices, only one time is it translated devices, and it's in this passage of Scripture. The other five times that it's used in the New Testament, four times it's defined as mind, and the other time it's described as thoughts. So you know what that teaches me right there? It teaches me that these devices that he used are mind games, which is exactly what one expositor defined this word noema as, the mind games of the devil. Wow. Boy, this brings a whole new light of where the enemy's attacking us, doesn't it? It shows us where that inroad is. He's looking for that inroad in our life, where he's aimed at. He's trying to get between your ears, inside your skull. He's trying to build up strongholds, imaginations, and all these high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So we need to learn how to take the weapons of our warfare and fight back against those things. Amen. Now, here's the interesting thing about the devil. And let me give you one more cool little point about this. When you go back over to Ephesians 6:11, it talks about the wiles of the devil. So how does he play these mind games with us? How does he aim these thoughts into our mind? Or what is the method or the strategy by which he does it? Now, most of you know this. The word for devil, which is the Spanish rendering for devil, is the word diabolos, right? They get that from the Greek word that's translated for devil. And to me, it describes his method and mode of operation. Because listen to this. This word, diabolos, comes from the word dia, which is the word through. It denotes penetration. It's something passing through something. And then the word balos, it means to throw. To throw. So his name itself describes his method and mode of operation in our minds, is what? He attempts to throw something until he penetrates the thing he's throwing it at. Wow. Now, do you remember the story of Judas Iscariot? When the Scripture says, right before he left to go betray the Lord, it said, and when Satan had put it into his heart to betray the Lord, that was the word balos, which means to throw. He threw it until it penetrated his heart and it created a seed of betrayal in him. So this shows how the devil works. He starts with an offense. Why'd they look at me like that? What did they mean by what they just said? And then an offense gets sown into our heart, and then it turns into a root of bitterness that gets roots down in our heart, which will end up, if not dealt with, turning into a fruit of betrayal towards the person. And it works in all of our lives like that. So my point is this, and let me give you an illustration as we close up right here. This is what the Lord had shown me before when I was dealing with a lot of different thoughts in my life, and he was establishing me in some of these principles. He showed me that our mind is like a control tower of an airport. Our mind is like a control tower of an airport, meaning this, that just as the control tower has the complete control whether who somebody's going to land or when they're going to land, right? And they radio in there, and they request permission to land, and then he gets them in this kind of pattern to where they can win, and he says, you're going to be able to land at this certain spot, right? That's your mind. It's the control tower. So this is what's happening right here. This shows us why all the bad fruit's coming in our life. Because the devil can't get access into your life unless he gets permission to land it through your mind. So what does he do? He radios in. You're just sitting there just going about your normal business during the day, and he radios in and says, requesting permission to bring these passengers of poverty into your life, to bring these supplies of sickness into your life. And most of us, because we're so ignorant of this subject, what do? We just sit there and we're like, whatever. Come on in. And the devil's like, goody, goody. Now we can come and bring all this kind of stuff into their life. But if you're smart enough to know that when these thoughts come, that you can basically stand up with the authority you've been given in Christ and you say, access denied. You have no ability to bring that into my life, devil. See, because you got to understand something about these thoughts. They're going to come. You can't keep the bird from flying around your head, but you can sure enough keep them from building a nest in your head. And that's what I'm talking about doing, not letting them build the nest till it penetrates your heart. So when the thoughts come, you need to speak out with the authority you've been given in Christ and say, Mr. Devil, no more stuff. You're not bringing this. You're not going to use my mind as a playground anymore. I'm not going to think on those things anymore. I'm not going to sit here and meditate on these things anymore. These things are lies. The opposite is the truth. Therefore, I start rejoicing in Christ Jesus. And I say, Lord, if you're telling me I'm going under and I'm going to die, I'm going to start rejoicing knowing that I'm going to live and I'm going over. Because that's what the truth is. Amen. Taking control of the control tower. You following me? So let's do that right now. Let's stand on our feet. And let's start taking control of our control tower. We're taking back the controls. We're kicking the bully out of our playground. And we're taking back the control of our minds. There are people in here that you've been dealing with certain bad emotions going on the inside of you. Hatred, anger, different things that have been going on in you, and you have learned the truth that has the capability of making you free today. If you just control the thoughts at their onset and you start dealing with that, it's going to change the way you feel. And all these fleshly emotions that are going on the inside of you can be controlled, can be dictated. I don't care what they are, just by simply choosing to think on things that are true. Amen? So let's raise our hands to heaven. Thank you, Lord. And say, thank you, God, that you have given me the truth. And this truth makes me free. So I'm taking control of my control tower. I'm going to determine what lands in my life and what has no permission to land. You have given me this right. You've given me this authority. So I'm taking back the controls of my control tower. You've shown me today the battle is between my ears. So I'm taking control of my thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.